Welcome in to the 48 Minutes podcast on Believe, presented by Bet Online. I'm Ross Geiger, the former NBA video coordinator, having spent time with the Bucks, Suns, and Knicks. And I'm joined alongside Bruce Bernstein, our four-time Emmy Award winner, who spent more than three decades at ESPN producing NBA shows, SportsCenter, and soaking up knowledge from the best hoop analysts in the business. And we're also joined by two-time Emmy Award winner, Michael Worldby Freer, who is a senior writer at Stat Factor, specializing in writing advanced statistical NBA reports for various announcers across the league. This is a Western Conference Finals special edition of the show, as we just finished watching the exciting Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals with the Minnesota Timberwolves playing host to the Dallas Mavericks. But before we get any further, just a quick reminder, BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on the game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use our promo code BLEAV, that is B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. And let's start with this here. Dallas wins game one, 108-105, in a tightly contested matchup, which featured 14 lead changes in the game, with nine of those changes coming in the second half. Worldby, I'll start with you. I mean, with this game, not it wasn't just lead changes, but it was role changes that we saw throughout this one, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It was really a tight game throughout. Neither team led by double digits. As you mentioned, plenty of lead changes, a lot of momentum swings in this game. And, I mean, I mentioned to you guys before we came on the air, it's very simplistic. It wasn't the ultimate decider, but Dallas, with their two-headed monster, two best closers in the game, they open. Kyrie opens the game with 13 points in the first quarter, and Luka takes him home with 15 in the fourth. And they overcome a horrendous three-point shooting display, dominating the paint, and they got some great efforts from their bigs, which we wonder, you know, how it would work out for them in this series. So far, one game in, it's working out pretty well.
Absolutely. And Bruce, I know you were in the same camp as I was with Dallas coming into this series, having some questions in regards to this team and how they would fare against Minnesota. How surprised were you with their game one performance here tonight, in which they took home a game one victory against a team that has yet to lose a game one or game two in this year's playoffs?
I haven't really thought of the Dallas team as a gritty bunch. Okay. You know, I look at teams that I think are really gritty teams. I look at a team like the Knicks. I've always found them to be a really gritty team. Dallas played with big time grit on Wednesday night in this game. They were aggressive. They were not intimidated by the moment at all. I mean, look, they've got two future Hall of Famers in their starting lineup, you know, so guys like that, you know, aren't always gritty, but they're almost never intimidated. And so look, the fact that they were able to out-rebound Minnesota 48-40, and I know World B's got some more specific numbers he's probably going to share with about that or coming up. But that was my big concern, was like, how are these, you know, young bigs on Dallas going to fare against, you know, three big-time bigs on Minnesota? Yeah. And they did just fine, as Dr. Jack Ramsey would say.
Yeah, those Dallas big men really did impress here tonight. Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford combined for a total of 20 rebounds. And with Naz Reid, Karl Towns, and Rudy Gobert, they only had 19. So two guys on Dallas that we had major question marks on rebounded three legitimate guys that we expected to go out there and perform well, and thought that was maybe one of the major advantages for Minnesota, was, you know, the front court depth. And got to hand it to both Lively and to Daniel Gafford in this one. Obviously, they did their quick work around the rim, as well as that defense collapsed on the playmaking guards and Luka and Kyrie. But World B, do you have anything to add in what you saw from Dallas's big men here tonight?
Oh, yeah. Derek Lively was a big-time performer in their win over Oklahoma City. He led the team in total plus-minus at plus 71. And in game one here, he's plus 19 in 27 minutes, just about. It was really impressive. It was really impressive to see how Luka and Kyrie make the defense collapse. And they're such great. We know how great their scoring is, and we'll get into that too. But their ability to find the open man when defenses collapse on them, these guys catch the ball, they put it in. Obviously, their range is limited. It doesn't matter. He just goes in the basket is all that really matters. And they did a great job getting the ball to these guys when the defense collapsed. You know, Luka and Kyrie, their scoring notwithstanding, they're really unselfish ball players, if you want to get serious about it. They'll find the open guy, and they found him tonight. And they really did about as well as you could do against a team that's number one in defense.
Now, Bruce, I had joked in the last series that it was going to be proclaimed as the PJ Washington series. Now, fast forward to game one here tonight, and he was in for a rude awakening because he certainly seemed to be targeted on the defensive end by Minnesota throughout the entirety of this one. He also struggled from shooting the ball from the floor. Do you think Dallas can survive without PJ Washington staying up in the clouds? I mean, if he comes back to life as the PJ Washington that we knew in Charlotte, do you think that could come back to haunt Dallas, or do you think they'll be just fine as is with Kyrie and Luka?
Well, I think in the case of PJ Washington, you kind of have to look at what he did at both ends of the court. You know, he spent a good deal of the game guarding Anthony Edwards, who had a subpar game. So you're going to have to give PJ credit for, you know, some of that at least. And look, he shot 4 out of 10 from the floor. That's not horrendous. It's not like he shot, 2 out of 10. And he did hit a bucket late that when they needed one, where he had that baseline, shot. So, 7 rebounds, 10, 13 points plus 12. I mean, that was the second best plus minus on the team. So, I feel like, you would like to get maybe a little bit better offensive game out of him. But if he's going to hold Anthony Edwards down, then he's earning his money and he's helping the team.
Yeah, great point.
We were talking about really giving him a hard time watching the game earlier tonight because along with Anthony Edwards, he got saddled with guarding Towns for a lot of the game as well. And Towns, when he had his best moments, he was really taking control of PJ Washington defensively. But as Bruce mentioned, he won for 7 on threes through three quarters, and he hits maybe the biggest bucket of the game for Dallas with that corner three that put him up by 4, I believe, at that point, and really put the pressure on Minnesota. So, yeah, we gave him a hard time, but because I joked it, with you guys that he was looking like Charlotte PJ Washington. That can't be good for anybody. And then he just, like he did in the last series, put it right in my face. We had the big free throws at the end to clinch the game against Oklahoma City in game 6, and he comes up with a very important basket tonight.
Yeah, and speaking of offensive struggles, let's talk a little bit about Anthony Edwards, and probably should be given a lot of credit to Dallas's defense, which it did include PJ Washington, like you said there, Bruce. Anthony Edwards had 19 points, 6 of 16 from the floor. However, he was 5 of 12 from downtown. So you're telling me he played 40 minutes tonight and only took 4 shots inside the arc. That just can't happen moving forward, if you ask me. We need to see a much more aggressive Anthony Edwards. And to go along with that, Anthony Edwards only got to the foul line once. He was a perfect 2 of 2 from the foul line. There was a huge free throw differential in tonight's game between Dallas and Minnesota. And so I ask you this, Bruce. I mean, how much of that do you credit Dallas's game plan on how they were going to attack Anthony Edwards defensively?
Well, I mean, 5 out of 12 from downtown is actually a pretty good percentage. I mean, that's like 41-42%. But, I look at it like this. If Jaden McDaniels is your leading scorer in the game, which he was on Wednesday night, you're not that's the wrong formula for Minnesota. I mean, you need Anthony Edwards to be your hired gun there. And so, yes, he's going to have to be, he's going to have to figure it out. I mean, look, this is, we know, Ross, you know this better than anybody else, you know, coaching makes all the difference in the playoffs because everybody's good. They're going to have to figure out a way to unlock things for him a little bit moving forward. Because guess what? Game two is a must-win game for Minnesota. They can't lose game two. They can't be down 0-2 at home. It's, you know, it's just not going to work. So he needs to, you know, they need to figure out a way to unlock him. Maybe they got to run some things or whatever. But, you know, it wasn't – that's not what you need from him.
Yeah.
By the way, Minnesota's lost three in a row at home now. You go back to the last series. Point, yeah. Denver went into Minnesota and beat them twice when they had a 2-0 lead on the road. So, yeah, you don't want to go down 2-0. I totally agree. But their performance at home is not the all-time shocker based on what we've seen lately.
No, and that's a great point there because obviously, you know, Minnesota had to face some adversity in that series last just on Sunday, trying to win two straight games against the Denver Nuggets there. But yeah, as far as Jaden McDaniels, 24 points, got off to a scorching start. I believe he had like 16 points at halftime.
19
points at halftime, excuse me. And another unusual suspect that Minnesota got a huge lift from was Kyle Anderson, who had 11 points, most of that coming in the first half here. Yeah,
all of it in the first half.
Slow-mo, really helping him out there. But Will B, I just want to ask you this because I think Bruce raised a great point and concern here. I mean, as nice as that was to see earlier on, do you think that affected – you know, maybe Anthony Edwards kind of finding a rhythm that he would have needed later in the game in the clutch?
Well, I certainly hope it didn't, because if you look at the other side, Luka Doncic had 14 points in the half. He had 19 in the second half. You watched Kyrie Irving go crazy in the first half with 24, and it didn't seem to bother Luka when the going got tough. And we're putting Anthony Edwards on the same level as some of these guys. He's got it doesn't matter what these other guys did earlier in the game. If they tail off like they did, only 5 points for Jaden McDaniels in the second half. Kyle Anderson got goose eggs in the second half. And, you know, Karl Anthony Towns had moments, but really did not have a great overall game. It's on Anthony Edwards. He's got, you put it best, Ross. 5 of 12 is solid from 3-point range, but you're not going to get, you know, 40-some-odd% shooting every night from him. You need him getting to the line. You need him attacking, and you need him, you know, getting fouled and going to the free throw line the way these other guys do. And that's his game, going to the rim and then working everything else out. And if he can't do that, if you can't get more than 19 points out of him, the series is going to be over. I'm sorry.
It just goes to show you how his stature has risen to such a point that he can have a game where he's 2 assists shy of a triple-double and we're crushing him.
Yeah, yeah, great point
there with that. Welcome to Jason Tatum's world.
Well, yeah. And welcome to Kyrie's world. Welcome to Luka's world. This is We want to put him at all-NBA level, which is where he is. Moments like this, game one at home. Now, this isn't – this is not what we expected out of him. This is an off night for him. And to Bruce's point, a near triple double being an off night, how great is that? But you look at, we watch him play. He didn't take over that game the way we expected him. We saw Luka take over that game in the fourth quarter. We saw Kyrie try, but he didn't have it in the second half. This is the danger that Dallas possesses on opponents. I have two closers. If one's not getting it done, you can rest assured probably somebody else is. And if both of them aren't, then you have a real good shot. So this is, we're getting on him, but this is his time. We're told that this is the guy, the next guy, as far as the league goes, in terms of stardom in this league. Well, he can't have another game like game one. He's got to be better.
I have a question for Ross, Coach Geiger. Okay. Jason Kidd's done a really outstanding job coaching those guys. I don't think anybody would dispute that. But the dysfunctional situation, and again, it's not because of conflict, but with Chris Finch not in his customary spot and, you know, kind of, you know, sitting in the back row, how much of an effect, if any, do you think that's had on, you know, what Minnesota has or hasn't been able to accomplish?
I don't know if I can answer for how it's affected what they've been able to accomplish, but I think it's definitely thrown a huge wrench in, you know, the vocal leadership from the sidelines and what Chris Finch might be able to see or get the attention of a guy like Anthony Edwards and maybe potentially avoid him turning the ball over by, you know, yelling something out or calling a different play. I think that those type of things come into the game and what could be factored into Finch having to be behind the bench, unfortunately, due to his injury. But since you brought up coaching, Bruce, we saw a wild decision down the stretch there that the Mavericks were right on and decided to take full advantage of. And that was when Minnesota elected to bring Kyle Anderson back in the game for a late game situation, sideline out of bounds. The Dallas Mavericks wisely didn't even guard him as an inbounder, knowing he wasn't a threat to get the ball back quickly for a quick three. How strange was that to see Kyle Anderson checked into? I understand he's a very wise passer, but to not have a guy like Mike Conley take the ball out of bounds to where you have to honor his shot if he gets it quickly back. I mean, just very weird to see that coming out of a timeout from Minnesota where Chris Finch did have a say in what was going to develop on that play.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, textbook basketball, right? I mean, you always want to have that the inbounds passer be a threat. And yeah, you're totally right.
And then they had to burn that. Then they had to burn that final timeout, which could have certainly helped them, especially since Conley got fouled on that 3-point play. Mike Conley was another guy tonight. I thought, you know, could have stepped up a little bit better. Only 1 of 6 from downtown. He really didn't find his range in this one. Moving forward, Bruce. I mean, for Minnesota, outside of just getting the Anthony Edwards more aggressive and hopefully get him to the foul line more than just one time, what other adjustments do you think they might possibly have to make after watching this one?
I mean, I think their bigs need to do a better job boxing out. I mean, you know, they can't lose the rebounding battle, so they've got to get the boards. They got to, you know, the one board that they got that would have been a big decisive factor in the game got waved off when Cat had that offensive interference call on that putback, you know, late in the game. So that was one rebound where they did get it and they didn't get rewarded for it. But yes, yeah, rebounding has got to improve for Minnesota.
Now, did you think that was interference with the ball in the cylinder, Bruce?
By the letter of the law, I think yes. However, as Stephen A. Smith would say, I've seen 1,000 of those go just like that where they weren't called. So yeah, it's still a very kind of a subjective thing, depending on the angle that the official has for it. Because on some of those replays, it definitely didn't look like it was interference. But on one that I saw, which was kind of basket level, I thought it was. So, but again, it's not always called, and for them to call it in that situation was brutal for Minnesota.
World B, what was your take on the whistle being blown for that one?
Initially, you could see it called live. You could see it how it looked really close. And then you watch all the replays, and it looked really close. It was a tough call. I don't think it was basket interference. It was a critical play. There's just no getting around. We've talked about all this other stuff. That ties it up at 104. Instead, it becomes 104-102. Dallas still with the lead. And I believe PJ, is that where PJ came down and hit the basket? Or that might have been earlier or whatever. But it would have been a tie game. Instead, Dallas maintained the 2-point lead. So it was really a tough call. It's, you better be right if you make that call. It's all there is to it. And I don't know if the officials got right on that one.
Yeah, maybe undoubtedly, the 2-minute report will tell us tomorrow.
Maybe it will. And the famed 2-minute report, we'll see.
I have a feeling it's going to, the 2-minute report's going to stay consistent with the review and that it was. However, the one thing that's undoubtedly certain is that certainly was a buzzkill to the momentum for the home crowd, because the place was rocking after Karl-Anthony Towns threw down the hammer on that putback. And to have those 2 points come off the board and just that break in action really kind of killed the run Minnesota was looking to try to go on there. So I'm with you, Bruce. As far as adjustments next game, it starts and ends with the Mavericks bigs. Number one, you got to out-rebound them. Number two, you got to figure out a way to keep them away from the restricted area where they're just getting easy dunks. Derek Lively didn't miss a shot today. Daniel Gafford threw down 2 to 3 different alley-oops. I mean, is there a certain point, Bruce, that you would think even if Kyrie might gain an advantage on a drive or Luka, you know, kind of create an advantage for an angle, do you stay home on the big and just hope that he misses and keep that prime position on the chance it comes off the rim?
It's like Mike Tyson used to say in a boxing match. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face, right?
Yeah.
So Minnesota might have that plan, and then Kyrie starts popping in these little floaters, and it's like, you know what? You know, we have to change the plan. So, yeah, you can plan for all kinds of things, but when you're dealing with Hall of Fame talent like Kyrie and Luka, you know, sometimes you just got to tip your hat to them. You can't stop trying, but you can't always expect to come out ahead with those guys.
Yeah. And I'm a big believer with big men, though. If you spoon feed them, get them engaged, get them involved on the offensive end, it's only going to, you know, help their effort and energy level and engagement defensively. So that's kind of why I bring that up, as far as just like maybe try to quiet them out a little bit, maybe even tie them up, get some fouls, get them, make them go to the foul line at the very least. Don't give them an easy 2 points. So really looking forward to seeing if Chris Finch and the Wolves look to make an adjustment next game. World B, do you have any other last adjustments here before we close out the show?
Well, I think game two, here's the one thing. Minnesota has been able to deal with adversity before. We saw them lose 2 in a row at home to take a 2-0 series lead into a 2-2 series tie, go to Denver, and they blow out Denver. So they can recover from this. They've shown they have the ability to recover. And Dallas has shown that they can win on the road. We obviously have seen that. I think they have 5 road wins in the playoffs now, which is really impressive. Game two for me is all about Anthony Edwards. Are we going to see Anthony Edwards be a superstar? They need his offense. Look at the top two guys for the two stars for Minnesota, Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards, and the two stars for Dallas, Kyrie and Luka. Kyrie and Luka, almost, they outscored him by almost 30 points combined, 63 to 35. That just you can't have that and expect to win. I think if Anthony Edwards comes back and plays the way we think he's going to play, we're going to have another close game, and I think they can pull it out.
So with that said, Bruce, keeping Anthony Edwards' future stock in mind, who do you have winning the series after getting just a game one preview of what's to come?
Well, if Minnesota can get game two and kind of get their mojo back, I'm still going to pick them. But if they get down 0-2, I'm going to have to change my mind and say Dallas. I mean, you know, I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's must win Minnesota game two.
All right. World B.
I was very impressed with what I saw from Dallas, and they still have the two best closers in the game. I still think it's going to go 7 games. I can absolutely, based on what I've seen tonight, I can see Dallas pulling this series out in 7. I think I had Minnesota in the podcast preview going 7. I'm more than happy to switch it to Dallas after what I saw. These two guys are absolutely – they have what nobody else has right now. It's two closers, and that includes the Celtics.
Yeah, and you've been on the Mavericks all season long, so give you credit there as well. As for me, I'm going to stick with Timberwolves in 6. I think Anthony Edwards will – bounce back in game two, and I think Minnesota can get one in Dallas over the weekend. But big game two coming up Friday night, should be a lot of fun, and looking forward to seeing both the West and Eastern Conference Finals. We've been treated to great game ones, and great series lie ahead in both conferences. So with that will do it for this edition of the 48 Minutes Podcast on Believe, presented by Bet Online. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back with you next week to be sure you're up to date in 48 on all things around the association. Take care, everybody.